The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman. As always, I'm Margaret Oldenburg and Nathan Gladwell. Now, showing at AAA. The first story we have today is the Chicago Bears have traded the first overall pick in this year's NFL draft to the Carolina Panthers in exchange for wide receiver DJ Moore, the 9th and 61st overall picks in this year's draft, a 2024 first, and a 2025 second round pick. What are y'all's thoughts on this trade?
Immediately, this is a quarterback want trade for the Carolina Panthers. With the Bears getting the number one overall pick over the Houston Texans, it opened up a massive amount of opportunities for the lower teams. I thought the Colts could be having an opportunity, and the Panthers having an opportunity to jump ahead of the Texans and have whatever choice of quarterback that they want in this year's draft, being that that's such a need for the Colts and the Panthers. And the Panthers making this move now, just as the combine's getting going, just as the combine is wrapping up. I think it's a fantastic move for the Bears, getting DJ Moore, another weapon for Justin Fields. I think that's a great get for the Bears, and them to move back just to the 9th pick. So that way they can maybe go after an offensive lineman like Paris Johnson Jr. or somebody like that to, again, continue to help out Justin Fields in that offense. But for the Panthers, man, this is the start. Frank Wright just got the job. Now he gets his choice of what quarterback he wants. I expect them to be looking at Bryce Young, obviously. I think that that's the easy pick there. C.J. Stroud could be in there, maybe Anthony Richardson. So it'll be very interesting to see this process over the next month or so and see where the Panthers end up taking a number one.
First of all, welcome back, Gray. Good to have you back. As far as this trade, I think that the Panthers have three guys who I think they should take with the first pick. And outside of those three guys, I think, it's a huge overpay and it's not going to end up going well for them. Three guys, of course, Bryce Young is there. I think C.J. Stroud is on that level too. And I think if you wanted to go in the route of defense, I think Will Anderson's right there. I think, there probably would have been four if it hadn't been for the issues with Jalen Carter's off-the-field issues. And I think that is a huge problem. I think that's probably going to drop him out of the top five. I don't know how teams are evaluating the situation with him. But personally, I think that Bryce Young would probably be the best pick. But I also don't think that the Panthers could go wrong picking C.J. Stroud either. It's just about preference in this scenario.
Yeah, the Panthers have an absolute haul for this pick. Definitely thinks a little bit of overpay. I guess they kind of substituted D.J. Moore for an extra first. But you look at the GM and Ryan Poles for the Bears. He did an amazing job maximizing value for this pick. He managed to get a top 15 wide receiver in the NFL. And then two firsts and two seconds. DJ Moore will be the number one receiver that Justin Fields has been needing for the couple years now. But for the Panthers, like y'all have been mentioning, TJ Stroud and Bryce Young, probably the two guys you look at there for them in a draft to play the quarterback position. Would like to see Bryce Young in a Panthers uniform, but wouldn't be mad if TJ Stroud was the pick with the combine he had and the performance he had against Georgia in the college football playoff semifinal. But then you look at the Panthers with the loss of DJ Moore. They only have guys like Terrence Marshall Jr., Shai Smith, and LaVisca Chenault on their roster. So you really need to attack free agency with guys like Odell Beckham Jr., Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman. And if you can't get any of those guys, they still have the 40th overall pick in the second round. So you definitely need to pick a receiver there if you're not able to get one of these free agent receivers.
Yeah, you can't.
A great job.
You can't have somebody like Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud coming in with the weapons that are currently on the roster for the Panthers. Even after the Christian McCaffrey trade this past season, you've got to attack free agency when it comes to wide receivers. Just like Alex said, like Odell Beckham Jr., Juju Smith-Schuster, I think are two really reasonable options for the Panthers. Or going and getting a younger guy like Mecole Hardman, or taking that 40th overall pick and making it into a playmaker, whether that's at the wide receiver, running back, or tight end position. Getting guys to help out whoever you bring in at quarterback at the number one pick is going to be crucial for Carolina.
All right, the second story we have today is the Los Angeles Rams have traded cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Miami Dolphins in exchange for the 77th overall pick in this year's draft and a tight end, Hunter Long. What are your thoughts on this trade?
This is a little interesting. This was kind of out of the blue. We didn't really expect something like this. Like, we kind of have been seeing the Bears kind of take offers for that number one pick when they traded it to Carolina, but didn't really see this one coming. Jalen Ramsey, he's a Pro Bowl corner. He's one of the best in the game right now, no matter what. For the Miami Dolphins, I think this is a fantastic get. That's a defense that, when it comes to in the passing game and passing coverage, has not been at their best, especially this past season. And being able to help that Miami offense, if that Miami offense can get healthy, being able to add a superstar like Jalen Ramsey to that defense just makes that Miami Dolphins team even more dangerous when it comes to next year.
Yeah, the Rams overall, after, you know, their Super Bowl victory, they're just kind of going into this downhill state where they're going towards a rebuild. Obviously, their cap space hasn't been great. A lot of veteran guys leaving. Of course, Odell not with the team anymore. I think that Jalen Ramsey doesn't want to waste his time there. And, you know, Miami is a perfect fit for him. A team that's trying to get into this win now scenario. They won a Super Bowl. You see them making these moves to improve their roster, and now they pair Jalen Ramsey with a guy like Xavier Howard on that defense. And you know, their offense is, you know, one of the best. The only question has been Tua all year. They picked up his fifth year option, so I think that they're a true believer and they're going to stick behind him. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see how Jalen Ramsey performs in the Dolphins scheme. I think, you know, you look at it now, it's probably one of the best defenses in the AFC.
Yeah, like y'all mentioning, the Rams are tearing it down after that Super Bowl win. They definitely sold their soul to get it. I'm just wondering if it's worth it at this point. Do y'all think it was?
Any Super Bowl is worth it, in my opinion. So,
yeah, absolutely. They won a Super Bowl like that. You can't take that away. That's big time. Like bragging. Like you can't take that away. You can't say like that's it wasn't worth it. But they really are. They're tearing it down. You're seeing a lot of players leave. A lot of players being traded. A lot of players going to retire. So we'll be interested to see what kind of directions the Rams go from now on.
Yeah, looking at what the Rams got for Jalen Ramsey, being that third rounder and then a tight end Hunter Long who probably won't play as much or maybe even be released. When they traded for Ramsey from the Jaguars, they had to send a two first round picks and a fourth rounder. So the return on value they got with Jalen Ramsey was pretty poor. Not really good for the Rams there. Then look at the Dolphins. Like Nathan said, their defense is probably one of the best in the AFC now. They keep stacking talent on it. But I think it's going to come down to who the quarterback is there in Miami. If it's Tua, can he stay healthy and can he lead this team to the Super Bowl? That's really going to be the thing that's going to hold them back if it does. All right, Gray, it's March Madness.
Is the greatest time of the year, the greatest sporting event of the year. You know, nothing compares. Super Bowl, college football playoff, World Series, NBA playoffs, none of it compare to this month and this tournament right here. And I'm so excited to talk about it. We're here in March Madness. The bracket is out. Selection Sunday was yesterday when this recording is. So we're here to talk about what teams to be watching out for, what matchups we like, what potential matchups we could see down the road, who our final four picks are, and who will be cutting down the nets in Houston in early April. Let's go region by region, though. Let's start with the South region, with the number one overall seed, Alabama Crimson Tide, residing in it, having number two seed, Arizona. And this is a very interesting region. You know, they announced this region first. They always announce the number one overall seed region first, the South region. And I thought this was an interesting look of matchups. Nathan, we'll start with you. What, outside of like Alabama, what matchup are you really looking forward in that first round to, like, oh, this could go either way. Maybe this could be an upset. Like, what are you looking at?
Obviously, people want to, you know, recognize Virginia's matchup against Furman, a really good Furman team who has a really good offense. Virginia, who overall has struggled in the past, they have a slow pace of play. So it's one of those situations where you think that might hurt them. Another team to look out for, I think, you know, Charleston versus San Diego State. A lot of people picking that as an upset. Charleston is a very good 3-point shooting team. But I wouldn't be surprised if San Diego State pulls out the win. Charleston hasn't really been as tested as most teams. They played in a weaker conference, but they've still done well. They had the ability to win big games, but it's all going to come down to if they can actually handle the pressure. Outside of that, you look at a matchup like Missouri and Utah State, where Missouri is actually the underdog in this matchup, even though they're the higher seed. Missouri has a great player in Kobe Brown who has the ability to make plays. We saw in the SEC tournament and that they were able to handle business against Tennessee. And ultimately, I think that they have a really good, talented roster in their first their head coach's first year to be able to come out and, you know, get this first round win. Flip side, Utah State, I think that, you know, this is a perfect matchup for them. If, you know, you were looking at someone else you would rather have, I think that, you know, they'd probably pick Missouri 9 times out of 10. This is a perfect scenario for them. Everyone's behind them. The betting is behind them. So I think that Utah State can probably get this win.
You're looking at my games, I'm looking at is there's Maryland 8 seed versus the 9 seed West Virginia. Both these teams are really defensively oriented. West Virginia does have the veteran leadership and guys like Eric Stevenson. Gray knows all about him. But then they have also have the Hall of Fame coach and Bob Huggins. So I think that veteran leadership there and their coach is going to propel them over Maryland. But if you're looking at Maryland outside of that, they don't play well away from their home arena, losing a lot, not shooting well from there. And then another matchup I'm looking at is number six, the 6 seed Creighton versus the 11 seed NC State. I fall in love with NC State this season. Both their guards, Darkhill Joyner and Travion Smith, are really good. They also have a guy, DJ Burns, who's been here before. I believe he's on there's another team he's on, I think, last year, transfer. And those guys really keep him going. And when you go to March, you look at teams that have really good guard play. NC State has that. And Creighton really didn't play good towards the end of the season, having rough stretches here and there. So I look at NC State maybe pull off that upset against a team like Creighton.
Alex, I think you just talked me into that one. I had Creighton in that game. Now I may go back and switch that before the game start on Thursday. But in this South region, obviously, we're here to talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide. I think Alabama is the immediate favorite in this region. In my opinion, I think the only team that could contain Alabama, if Alabama is able to play the way that we've seen them play the past few games and in from the SEC tournament, is that Arizona team. I think they would match up very, very well. I think that would be a fantastic Elite Eight matchup. What do y'all want to see from Alabama coming out of this region? What do they need to do to make it to the Final Four?
Shoot the ball well. That's the obvious, you know, thing. I think in the past, you look at where Alabama struggled, where they've lost games. They haven't shot the three-point shot well. They've struggled with turnovers. And overall, I think that physicality on both ends of the floor really, you know, makes up when you're not having good shooting performances. You look at the SEC tournament in the Missouri game where Alabama had struggled shooting the ball early. They came out and they were physical and they were getting rebounds. They were able to get paint touches, and that's going to be important. You get to the foul line, able to make free throws. That's a game changer when you aren't, you know, when you're in a cold shooting slump, especially against a team like, let's say, Arizona. You know, they meet Arizona in the Elite Eight. The only way you outplay that team, if you're not going to shoot well, is you have to be more physical. It's the same thing that we've seen all year when they played teams like UConn, who beat them, and on the road at Houston when they got the win because they were the more physical team.
Yeah, for me, it's going to have to be somebody besides Brandon Miller and Javon Quinley stepping up when they need it. We've seen Mark Sears been in a shooting slump. Noah Clowney has picked it up as of recently, but we've seen him sort of fade away there. And then guys like Ryland Griffin and Demar Burnett had to step up off the bench. So you look at that. And then if you're looking at a team like Arizona to maybe challenge Alabama, they have two good big men in Ballo and Tabilis. We've seen Alabama struggle with big guys in the past, being Drew Timmy, Oscar Sheway, some guys like that. So it's going to be a difficult matchup for Alabama if Arizona were to advance as well as Alabama.
Absolutely. Yeah, all right. X factor. And yeah, for this Alabama team, it's going to be Charles Bediako. If he plays like he has the past 8 games, Alabama will, you know, find themselves, you know, Final Four, national championship. And they might win if Charles Bediako plays the way he's been playing.
Yes, sir. Now, give your prediction on who comes out of the South region and why. Alex, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Alabama Crimson Tide. Their offense is great. Their defense is great. Look at a team who has a top 10 defensive rating, a top 50 offensive rating. Both these things need to happen if you're going to advance into the national championship or even the Final Four. They also have a very deep team, averaging the 26.6 points per game from their bench. They look at that for teams to make a deep run. They have to have a deep bench, and Alabama definitely has that. And they also shoot a lot of threes and make a lot of threes. So it's going to be interesting to see how Alabama shoots a three in this tournament.
For me, I'm going to go with the unpopular matchup. I think that Baylor actually makes its way to play Alabama in the Elite Eight. I think Baylor has kind of been overlooked. People think that, you know, they can get upset by UC Santa Barbara in the first round. I think this Baylor team is really solid, but the one thing that's going to put Alabama ahead in that game is going to be because Baylor has a slow pace of play. Alabama, we know they like to run the floor. They, you know, get shots up in the first 7 to 10 seconds of the shot clock. So if you're not able to match threes, if you're not able to score quickly or at least slow Alabama down, you're not going to win against them. Yeah, so in that case, I think that Alabama comes out of the South region.
And for me, I guess I can very easily see Alabama coming out of this region. I think the only challenge that they could possibly have is in the Elite Eight, whether that be against Baylor or against Arizona. March Madness is all about guard play. Alex said it a little bit ago. I've been very, very high on Baylor's backcourt. I think it's the best backcourt in the country when healthy. Adam Flagler and Keyonte George are the best 1-2 backcourt pair in the country. But the physicality of play of Alabama and both Arizona, I think you see that matchup in the Elite Eight. And just to be different, I'll say Arizona, even though I think Alabama will be the better team. But I think that's a fantastic matchup, and I cannot wait if that is the South Region Elite Eight. So moving on down to the East Region with Purdue as the 1 seed and Marquette as the 2 seed. Looking at this region right here, I think this is my favorite region in the entire bracket because of the matchup potential and the big names and the tough teams that have been playing really, really well that just worked them into the tournament. I think you're just full of that in this bracket. What matchup, Alex, I'll start with you. What matchups are you looking at? Maybe upsets, maybe potential good matchups. What are you looking at in this East region?
Yeah, I'm looking at Memphis and FAU for Atlantic. Both these teams close their season out really well, winning their conferences. But you look at a team like Memphis, who outside of Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams lacks really a third option. And we've seen in the past when Kendrick Davis is not able to perform well, the Memphis team can't win games. And FAU has shown the ability to shut down top-level guards like Jelly Walker at UAB. And I think FAU, with how deep their team is, how many bodies they can throw at Memphis, is going to be difficult for the Tigers to beat a team like Florida Atlantic. And then I look at a game like Kentucky Providence. Both these teams have been playing really well. Providence has 5 guys averaging 10 points per game, including Kentucky transfer Bryce Hopkins. Kind of a revenge game for him. But the way Kentucky played outside of the 2 losses to Vanderbilt, they looked really good. Antonio Reeves has been playing lights out. And I think the experience of John Calipari in this tournament and how many veterans they have on Kentucky with Antonio Reeves, Oscar Tshiebwe, Jacob Toppin, they're going to outlast a team like Providence. And then another game, Michigan State and USC, the 7-10 matchup. Both these teams really rely on their guards, USC relying on Boogie Ellis and Drew Peterson, and Michigan State relying on Walker and Hogard. And it's going to be really a battle of those matchups there. But I think it's going to come down to who's the better coach. And I think we can all agree here that the better coach in this matchup is Tom Izzo. And I think Michigan State will definitely sneak out of here with the win.
Yeah, I have 2 games out of this region. I think to start off, number 4 Tennessee versus 13 Louisiana. People have been down on Tennessee ever since their starting point guard had their season-ending injury. I think that Tennessee is kind of one of those teams where they got a favorable high seeding even without playing well these final few games in the regular season and into the SEC tournament. I think that it's an easy team to overlook because they have been such a great team defensively all season, and they had the ability to create steals and get transition points, and that's going to be huge when it comes down to not being able to shoot. You look at a Louisiana team who you think can really find an offense against this Tennessee team, and move the ball more in the half court set, I think that Tennessee, you know, has the advantage in that area. So I think that Tennessee comes out there, and then a huge game, Duke versus Oral Roberts. You talked about a Cinderella run that Oral Roberts had a few years ago. And then on the flip side, Duke, who hasn't had the greatest season, finds their way winning the ACC tournament. And now they're looking at a very, very good first round matchup. I think Duke with Jeremy Roach and Kyle Filipowski, I think that they definitely have a good amount of leadership, even though, you know, they kind of have a younger team. And then you look at a team like Oral Roberts with, of course, Max A. Smith, who, you know, led them in the past Cinderella run. I think that Oral Roberts really is the team to watch here in this region. Because if they can win this first round matchup, then I think that they can potentially find themselves, you know, later down in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. But on the flip side, I think that Duke, even though it's, you know, an underrated year, it's kind of a down year for them. I think that they can also get to that point as well.
Yeah, Nathan, I was going to point out that Orlando region as well. I think whoever comes out of that Orlando region may end up in the Elite Eight, whether they're facing against Purdue, Memphis, or Florida Atlantic, because of the offensive talent from Duke and Oral Roberts and Louisiana, and then the defensive talent from Tennessee. No matter what matchup we get in the second round, whether it's Duke and Tennessee or Oral Roberts and Tennessee or Duke and Louisiana or whatever, that's going to be a fantastic matchup. This is that region is why I like the East region the best. But looking on down the line, Kansas State versus Montana State to play against somebody like Kentucky or Providence, I think that's a fantastic region as well. I mean, just going down the line, this East region, I said it was my favorite. I'm going to stick by it. So starting with you, Alex, who do you have coming out to play Alabama in the Final Four in Houston out of this East region?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go in the Big East champion, Marquette. They've closed out the season really well, looked like one of the best teams in the country. They have one of the best offenses in the league, and they get out and run. They average the second most fast break points in the country, so they're going to get out and run a fast-paced offense. And they have two great guards in Cam Jones and Tyler Kolek, and you look at those guys probably being one of the better guard duos in the country. And I can't really go against Shaka Smart here, having experience winning in March with teams like VCU.
I think that, you know, Duke is a great team, but unfortunately, I think they win versus Oral Roberts. I think Tennessee will get past Louisiana. Ultimately, Tennessee falls to Duke without Zakai Ziegler. I think that's going to hinder their performance there. But I think a team like Memphis, I think they have a great first round matchup. They get through that. They play most likely number one Purdue, who struggles with pace of play. Their offense is based around 7'4" Zach Edey, and their guard play can be suspect at times. I think Memphis with Kendrick Davis can get past that point. And really, I think that one of the biggest upsets I have in this region would be number 7 Michigan State over Marquette. And I think that ultimately Memphis will actually come out and play Alabama in the Final Four. I think that they've been an underrated team all year. They definitely have fight. Kendrick Davis is a really good leader of this team, and he can make some great plays. And if they get some momentum behind them, then, you know, you have to watch out.
Yeah, for me, I think for Purdue, it's the toughest draw of any one seed in this bracket because of the possibility in the second round of playing either Memphis or Florida Atlantic. That's a very, very tough matchup. And then they get the winner of the Orlando region in the Sweet 16 if they get there, which is you play any four of those teams coming out of Orlando, that'd be really tough. And then if you get past that, you get whoever comes out of the bottom of the bracket. That could consist of Kentucky, Kansas State, Michigan State, Marquette. I mean, getting a rematch with Marquette, that would be a very interesting game. I think Purdue, if they're able to shoot the ball from outside, that they could do that. I don't think they were tested enough in the Big Ten from that Big Ten schedule. And just like you said, Nathan, their offense is so centered around Zach Edey. I just do not see them advancing to the Final Four. I really, really like the bottom of the bracket. I have Marquette coming out at the bottom of the bracket, just like you, Alex. But to be different, I'll say I'll go with Kentucky beats Marquette, and then Kentucky ends up going past Purdue because I think Kentucky has better guards than Purdue. And Oscar Tshiebwe versus Zach Edey matchup in the Elite Eight would be a fantastic. It'd be player of the year versus player of the year type of matchup. That'd be an incredible game. So moving on the other side of the bracket to the Midwest region, where Houston is the one seed and Texas is the two seed. This is the most odd region possible in this bracket, probably, because there's not really one team that you just go, yep, they're coming out. No doubt that they're going to win it. Just like I think the South region, I just think you could easily say that with Alabama or Arizona. And it's not like the East region where you're just absolutely loaded with talent and good, you know, mid-major basketball teams. But with this one, it's very, very interesting. And it's also very, very interesting the locations of some of these regions. So starting off, obviously this is where Auburn resides as the 9 seed, playing against Iowa as the 8 seed. I think I really like the matchup with Iowa. I think Iowa's a very, very good offensive team. If they're able to shoot the ball and get hot, that they're very, very dangerous. They could be dangerous to not only Auburn, but Houston in that second round matchup. But this being in Birmingham, that is a huge win from Auburn. That is an 11-hour drive for Iowa and a 2-hour drive for Auburn. That makes a huge difference. And if they move on and to the Saturday game, the second round, playing against Houston in Birmingham again, that would be a crazy matchup as well, whether it's Iowa or Auburn for Houston. But looking at this region outside of Auburn and Iowa, Alex, I'll start with you again. What are you identifying and looking at in the first round?
Yeah, I'm looking at the 5-seed Miami taking on 12-seed Drake. Miami did lose their big man, Omir, to an ankle injury in their ACC championship game against Duke. That is a huge loss. He's definitely their centerpiece of the defense, the anchor of it. And losing him is going to be a struggle for a Drake team that rebounds the ball very well. Drake also has a lot of veterans. They have one of the oldest teams in this tournament. They also have a young guy in Tucker DeVries who shoots the three very well. So I look at a team like Drake to pull off an upset against a shorthanded Miami team. And then I'm also looking at maybe a team in this region and Texas A&M and Penn State. Penn State's been on a hot streak recently, running through the Big Ten tournament, eventually losing by 2 points to Purdue. But then I look at a team like Texas A&M, who's been hot all year after a rough start to their season. And I really think they have the good guard play with Tyrese Radford and Wade Taylor. And Penn State reminds me of a Georgetown team a few years ago who had won their tournament and came into this tournament and laid an egg. And I think Penn State can definitely do that here. And I have Texas A&M coming out of that matchup.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best matchup besides looking at Iowa and Auburn. I think that Texas A&M, you know, they have gotten to a point where they struggle in offense at times without being able to score from the field. Obviously, they find ways to get to the free throw line. I think the main question with that team is Wade Taylor going to be able to, you know, find a shot? Is he going to be able to lead this team? If not, can Tyrese Radford step up in his absence offensively? I think that they have a great team, but I don't know if I would have them going past the second round. I think that Texas would eventually get them. You look at another matchup in Iowa State versus a potential Mississippi State or Pitt team. I think that Mississippi State and Pitt, you know, playing in that first four, you know, they have the time to kind of get their shot. They had time to get ready to prepare. I think having that first four game will kind of get them in the right mindset of where they need to be. And if Iowa State comes out and they aren't prepared or ready for a very defensive Mississippi State team, I think that Mississippi State could get the upset there. But I wouldn't have Mississippi State going past that second round either.
I just want to mention something real quick. If you're looking at a 2-15 matchup, it's really good. This Texas Colgate one's really good. Colgate shoots 40.8% from three, which is first in the country. So if you're looking at an upset for a 2-15, that's one to pick.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also want to mention the second round games in this tournament could be very, very good if they go what's a plan, I guess. If you get a second round matchup between Texas and Texas A&M, that game would be in Pittsburgh, where you get that rivalry. I think that rivalry, that'd be very interesting. But let's go ahead and make our picks for the Midwest region. Get another team added to the Final Four. Nathan, I'll start with you. Who do you think comes out of the Midwest?
I think that Texas comes out of the Midwest. I think really they're a one seed in disguise. You saw what they were able to do in the Big 12 tournament, knocking off Purdue. Kansas. They beat Kansas by 20. I do think that that was kind of overdone. You know, Kansas without Bill Self in that tournament, he will be back for the NCAA tournament. But ultimately, I think Texas really probably deserved a one seed, but it was kind of late in the season. They didn't have enough under them. But I think that, you know, Texas is a very dominant team. I don't think Houston, I think Houston could very well lose in the second round playing in Birmingham, whether it be against Iowa or Auburn, especially against Auburn. And that would be a crushing matchup for them. I think that a team like Indiana could very well, you know, see themselves upset. They, you know, have times where they play inconsistent. They have leadership. But the question is, are they going to be able to stay consistent? I don't think they will. A team like Miami can very well lose a drag in the first round. Mississippi State getting the upset in the first round, I don't think they go far past that. I looked at a team like Xavier. I don't think that they would have it in them to beat this Texas team, especially with a great six-man in Serge Ibaka Rice. So I would have Texas.
Yeah, for me, I have a team in Xavier going to the Final Four here. They have one of the best offenses in the country. They did end up losing their center, Zach Fremantle, for the season, and they kind of wavered off towards the end. But once they figured it out, they did make a run in their tournament, and she losing to Marquette. But I look at their guard trio of Sully Boom, Colby Jones, and Adam Kunkel, who really keep the team going. And like I've mentioned multiple times, guard play went to tournament games, and I think this is probably one of the better trios in this tournament. And they have also a guy in Nungi replacing Fremantle, who shoots a three fairly well, can space the floor. And if Sully Boom, their point guard, can shoot well and score the ball and facilitate, this team will go far in the tournament.
Yeah, for me, it just comes down to two things for Houston being the one seed. It comes down to that second round matchup, and it comes down to if Marcus Sasser can finally get healthy once they get if they can get past somebody like Auburn or Iowa in that second round. That second round matchup is going to be huge for them because of Marcus Sasser's hamstring injury. If he can get healthy, they can get past the Birmingham region. I like to see them go home for their Final Four home games. But quickly, let's talk about the last region in the West. Alex, I'll start with you. Do you see any potential upsets? What are your favorite first round games that you like in the West region?
There's definitely some potential for upsets, with St. Mary's VCU being the 5-12 matchup and a UConn-Iona 4-13. But I really don't have an upset here. St. Mary's, I think they're much better than VCU. They have one of the best defenses in the country. I know there's a sour taste in people's mouths in the way they performed against Gonzaga in their championship. But St. Mary's has been a top 10 team in KenPom basically all year. And I look at that team to pull off the win there. And then looking at a matchup in TCU, Arizona, in the winner of Arizona State Nevada as the 6-11 matchup. TCU did lose their center, Chuck O'Bannon, for the rest of the year for, I think, a personal matter. So I think it's going to be a big issue for them. But I don't think Arizona State or Nevada pulls this off. And I think TCU manages to squeak by there.
Starting off with this 8-9 matchup, Arkansas versus Illinois, two basically mirror teams. I think that Arkansas really struggles at times. They definitely have the talent. No doubt they have the coach. I think that Arkansas can really cause some problems for a team like Kansas in the second round. But ultimately, it's going to be coming down to how well Nick Smith Jr. plays, how well his supporting cast is with Anthony Black and Ricky Council, the fourth. This Arkansas team is very, very talented, but their offense has been lacking all year. And then I would look at a team matchup in Northwestern versus Boise State. Northwestern was very, very competitive in the Big Ten all season. Of course, getting that upset win against Purdue. They had the ability to win these big games, but ultimately I think that Boise State has the better matchup here. I think that they can end up upsetting them in the first round, which giving UCLA a great matchup in the second round. I think that, you know, going forward, it's there's so many tough teams in this region, and it's going to be anyone's region, to be honest.
Yeah, for me, I really like the Iona Gales in this one. Rick Pitino has his squad red hot. They've got a ton of momentum. They have not lost since January. They're a very good guard team. I think that they can make some upsets and make some noise, especially if they get a second-round matchup with St. Mary's or VCU. I don't know if they can beat somebody like Kansas in the Sweet 16, but I think that would be a good Cinderella rug from Rick Pitino's team. Nathan, I'll start with you. Who do you have coming out of the West region to go to Houston for the Final Four?
You know, I've flipped this pick so many times. It's just so hard because there's so many great teams and you don't know who's going to play their best. But at the moment, I have UConn coming out. I think that, you know, with the dominance or physicality, like I talked about in the past against when they played the game against Alabama, I think that, you know, being a great rebounding team, well, you know, they're able to get on the offensive board and get these second chance points. I looked at a team like UCLA, of course, losing their best defender didn't help their case. And then a team like Kansas, who I really think can be upset in the second round matchup, whether it be against Arkansas or Illinois. I think a team like VCU can really upset St. Mary's in the first round and make it to the Sweet 16 if they were to upset a team like UConn. But ultimately, I think that UConn's physicality is going to get them to the Final Four.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go with Kansas. They have the returning starter in Jalen Wilson and then a point guard in DeJuan Harris Jr., and they really keep this team going. I'm kind of ignoring the Big 12 tournament with Bill Self not being there and them also being down Kevin McCullough. So I think the Kansas team can really advance in this region. And like Nathan mentioned, UCLA losing Jalen Clark, their best perimeter defender, is really a hurt to them. And they really lack size in the paint. And I really think it's going to be a struggle for them in this region.
Yeah, I think UCLA has a really tough draw coming out with them losing Clark. No matter their matchup in the second round or in the Sweet 16, whether it be second round, whether it be Northwestern or Boise State, or in the Sweet 16, if they get there, whether it being Gonzaga or TCU or somebody like that, that'd be a really, really tough draw. But I'm with you, Alex. I think Kansas is one of the better teams in the country. I think they're able to bounce back from that tough loss against Texas in the Big 12, in the Big 12 championship. But I really, really like Kansas to advance. Real quick, who do y'all have cutting down the nets in Houston?
I have Alabama.
Yeah, I think that Alabama is a pretty safe pick.
I think Alabama is a safe pick as well. Just to be different, I'm not doing this because I'm an Auburn fan. Trust me, I probably will pick Alabama in my bracket, but I'll say Houston cuts down the nets at home.
All right, fellas, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.